Good morning. Welcome to worship at First Presbyterian Church of Warren. Welcome to everyone who's listening to us on the radio and WHKZ. Welcome to all of those of you who are here in the sanctuary with us this morning. The radio ministry this morning is funded by Zam and Mary Lou Zampedro in memory of John Athia. Our lay reader today is Joanne Rubrake. As I'm saying all of this stuff, if you would grab those red friendship pads that are in every pew and sign in and let us officially know that you're here, that's helpful to us. Remember that you can find lots of good stuff on our website, www.fpcwarren.org. Also, you can access our Facebook page from there. I do have a couple announcements that I'm going to make, but I've got people making announcements too, so take it away, Jim.
Good morning. This is just a reminder, the gardening class is going to be held today, and we're going to meet right after the service. And we've decided we've had a much larger turnout than I expected, so we're going to meet in Badger Hall. And there'll be time, you can grab a cup of coffee, come on up, and my wife Barb has made some fresh zucchini bread and some rhubarb bread to help entice you to come on up. So, see you later.
Just a few reminders. This Friday night coming up, we don't have a Lenten study. We're taking a week off, and if you wonder why, you could just talk to one of the Vlads and they'll tell you why. You could support their relay team. Next Sunday after church, we're having a Lenten craft Sunday, similar to what we had last year. We're decorating cookies and Easter eggs. And then the Friday night Lenten study resumes on March 11th at 6 o'clock, Fellowship Hall. Again, you don't have to have attended any of them before. We have food and we have a little video and we talk, and it's a lot of fun. Don't forget, we talked last week about the contact information sheets that are at each door. If you want to fill one out and just put it in the office, on Kathy's desk, that information will be kept private. And there weren't a lot of people that signed up on the funeral dinner list that I put on the back table or the last table in Fellowship Hall. So if you're interested in either helping or making a dish when the time arises, if you could put your name and your phone number on there, that would be very helpful. Thanks very much.
I do want to remind everyone that I will be in Philadelphia with the grandkids next Sunday, and there will be a guest preacher, Reverend Gina Thornton. Reverend Thornton is now retired, but has been a pastor around here many places, and also in Cleveland, a long, distinguished career. She was last working as an associate down at the AME Church on South Main. And many of you, if you're around things that are happening in Trumbull and Mahoney County, may know her daughter, Robin Woodbury, who's active in a lot of the good things that happen in the clergy associations and things like that in Trumbull and Mahoney County. Anyway, Gina will be here next Sunday, so I hope that you'll be here and give her a wonderful, warm welcome. We already announced about the Lenten crafts. We're still looking for usher captains, so if you're interested in that, see Tony or Karen. It says your name here. Is that okay, Karen? No, it's not okay. See Karen anyway. And if you're interested in helping out with the ushering. I hope that you'll take a look at all of the announcements that we have, but at this time, let us stand and greet one another in the peace of Christ. Thank you.
and join me in the call to worship. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. You who have no money, come, buy, and eat. Our souls thirst for God in a dry and weary land. We seek God's power and glory in the sanctuary. Listen carefully to God's message to you. Delight yourselves in all that God provides. Here our souls are satisfied, as with a rich feast. Together our mouths praise God with joyful lips. God offers us steadfast love and a covenant relationship. We are called to be faithful witnesses. We have come to meditate on the living God. We seek inspiration and empowerment to do what He asks of us. Please join me in the prayer of invocation. We come before you, gracious God, seeking you. Only you can provide nourishment for our souls. There is no other source of meaning in our world. We can find no fountain of strength or sustenance apart from you. As a community of faith, we call on you, believing that you are nearer than our next breath, more available to us than we can think, more than anything we ever dare to imagine. Uphold us now, that we may worship on wings of joy. Amen. God's gifts are available to all, yet some do not use them for the common good. God is faithful, extending love to everyone, yet many of us create idols to occupy our time and attention. We are blessed far beyond our deserving, yet we grumble and complain. How desperately we need to turn around and find new direction. Please join me in the prayer of confession. We have been tempted, loving God, to go our own way without reference to eternal truths. We seek our own gratification rather than the well-being of our children. We compare ourselves to others and find their failures, but seldom discover our own shortcomings. We seek to build our lives by our own limited design, rather than by your larger purposes. O God, forgive us. Amen. God grant us strength to overcome temptation and offers us a second chance to produce the fruits of repentance. Receive these gifts from God, who is faithful in covenant with us and all people. Open yourselves to the continued guidance of the Holy One, for God's steadfast love is better than life. God's mercy is abundant. God's provisions for us is extravagant. God's ways are higher than our own. Praise God with joyful lips. Amen. Join me in the prayer of illumination. Eternal God, whose call comes to us through the scriptures and the remembrance of our baptism and in our shared life in the church, feed us now with your word that we may bear fruit. Confront us with your truth and keep us from being tempted beyond our strength. For we seek to be faithful in our covenant with you and responsible in our relationships with one another.
May we ever witness your steadfast love in ways that transform evil into you.
Amen. Today's reading is from Psalm 63, verses 1 through 8. O God, you are my God. I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary. Behold your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands and call on your name. My soul is satisfied as with a rich feast, and my mouth praises you with joyful lips. When I think of you on my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me.
Thank you. Children, please join me up front. Keep having to move down to find the middle. Good morning, good morning. Here are all the little stars of the spire, right here in front of you. You know, I was in the store shopping the other day. I needed to get some soap. And so I was in the soap aisle, and I found this bar of soap. There are so many ways to clean ourselves. Have you ever gone in the store with your mom and looked, and there's the bar soap, the old-fashioned kind. Then there's soft soap, and then there's body wash. That's, I guess, if the soap is too heavy to use, you can use body wash. Won't get, you know, I don't know. Shampoo, have you ever seen how many shampoos there are? A lot. And most of them are for girls, is that right, Elijah? Well, obviously we need to step it up there for you guys, don't we? You have coconut, yeah. They have everything in the shampoo. So that takes care of the outside of us. We can get all nice and squeaky clean. What about the inside of us? Have you ever heard people talk about Jesus and how he died for our sin? And sin, a simple way to explain it, is that it's when you do things that aren't the things that God or Jesus would want you to do. And so there's nothing for that, is there? I bet there is. Look at this. You will not believe this. God's super duper heart cleaner. Well, it has stuff in it that's going to help. Oh, yes, it does. It does. And you know what? You know what the best part is? It's free. Ah, we like free things, don't we? Okay, so let's see what it is. What is it? Jesus. Because Jesus died for our sins. That's why we are able to always have a nice, clean heart, because God and Jesus are always there for us and always forgive us and always help us know the right thing to do. Let's bow our heads. Dear God, we thank you so much for your Son Jesus, because without him, dear Lord, we would not have the life that we have through you. In his name we pray. Amen.
Out there in the pew, you probably missed this, but as that children's sermon was happening behind me, Becky started singing, soap, 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 soap. And then Susie turned around and said, "What are you singing?" And Becky said, "Oh, about 8 bars. I'll quit while I'm behind. The second reading this morning from the Gospel according to Luke, and in the 13th chapter, now in verses 6 through 9. And then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it, and he found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good, but if not, you can cut it down." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray for just a moment. Lord, speak to these people whom you love through me, a most imperfect vessel. Amen. Well, we are in this season of Lent to be contemplating things and considering things and being introspective. And one of the things that this passage talks about that we might introspect on is there such a thing as a last chance? It's interesting that we use this passage from Luke about a fig tree. Mark and Matthew also have a story about a fig tree. Theirs is very similar to each other, but different from Luke's. And some scholars, as I was reading about this, are convinced that it's the same story, and Luke kind of bent the story, told it in a different direction to make the point that he wanted to make, which is definitely one of life's possibilities, I think. But also remember that Jesus is walking around for 3 years and saying a lot of stuff, and the vast majority of that stuff does not get written down. In fact, at the end, John's talking. John says, if we tried to write down everything that Jesus said, there's enough paper to write it all down. And so it's more comfortable, it's easier, it makes more sense for me to think of this as a different fig tree on a different day. But it definitely is a story about a fig tree that's not doing so well. And that part is also true in Matthew and Mark. He has a fig tree in his vineyard. That might first seem weird. It's the vineyard is kind of a generic. He might have had horseradish in there too. The vineyard is probably mostly vines, and that's why it's called a vineyard. But everything would have been in there, and there's a good chance, not a certainty, but a good possibility that there'd be a wall around it, and so it would be. This, we would think of it much more as a garden or as a plot than we would think of it as just a vineyard. But there would be a lot of things in there. And if the household had a fig tree or fig trees, they're probably in there where the vines are. And people of that day would have probably said, walk down to the vineyard and get me some figs. It's not an unusual phrase in the context that you see it here. Even though it seems a little weird to us because we're used to either actually driving by or seeing on TV or movies just rows and rows and rows of grapevines and nothing else. Would not have been that kind of a deal. So the man had a fig tree, and it was planted in his garden, and it didn't have any figs. We can make some assumptions that it's not a fig tree that he just planted 3 years ago, because then you wouldn't really expect figs yet. And he wouldn't be complaining about not seeing any figs for 3 years. This is probably a fig tree that should have started to produce figs at least 3 years ago. Although, as we once again look at the idiom of the time, I've been here 3 years now, really could mean I've been here a lot. He might have been coming here for 10 years. And he might still, under those circumstances, say, I've been coming here 3 years and I haven't seen a fig yet. It would be the idiom, in addition to actually being the real number three, it would be kind of the idiom for a lot. So apparently, this fig tree has had at least three and maybe a lot of chances. And so the guy comes and he looks and he's looking all over the place and he's seeing leaves and branches and all kind of cool stuff and perhaps the sunlight wafting beautifully through the slightly low. It's just wonderful, except there's no figs. And so he looks at his gardener and says, you know what? Let's cut this puppy down because I'm done. It's just using up all the fertility of the soil. We could put something there, be a great place for an asparagus plot, don't you think? Or something. Those of you who are coming to Jim Sherwood's little thing after church will then know what you would plant when you cut down your fig tree, but something, anything, because it's a waste of space. And the gardener says, yeah, how about give me one more chance? It's interesting here that in this 21st century, in fact, in the last several hundred years, we've had a need to politen the phrase. But the Greek word that's in there is balo, which is the word for ball. Which, if you were here a few weeks ago when I was talking about that in the sense of parabolas, the difference between a sphere, which is a round thing, and a ball is that it's a ball when you throw it. So things like baseballs and softballs and soccer balls are meant to be thrown, and so we refer to them as balls. Even a football, which isn't round, gets thought of as a ball because we throw it. That's where the word ballistics comes from. So what he says is, let me throw manure at it, and let's give it one more chance. Then the story ends. We don't know what happens. There's no little postscript where Luke says, remember that tree that I wrote about back when Jesus was walking around the Middle East preaching? I saw that tree just last week, and it's beautiful and mature and covered with figs. Nor does Luke say, and then we went back the next year, and there was rutabagas in that same spot. We just don't know how that ended. In Mark's story and in Matthew's story, we know what happened. They walked by the fig tree. There weren't any figs on it. They walked by the fig tree the next day. It was all withered up. That's pretty clear cut. The question that Luke is asking, but not quite answering, at least not directly, is there such a thing as a last chance? Think about it this way. Sunday after Sunday, we say a prayer of confession. And the prayers of confession are varied, but they all fall within some parameters. And the parameter basically boils down to is, dear God, we've been doing the wrong stuff. Please help us quit. Please forgive us for all that wrong stuff we did. Amen. They all kind of fall in that same general range. Now figure, some of you are 50-year members. Some of you have been exceedingly faithful in your attendance. If you've come for 50 years, 50 Sundays a year, you have 2,500 times said, oh God, I'm really sorry I messed up. Please forgive me for messing up. Please help me not to mess up the next time. And then the next week you've come and said, oh God, I messed up again. Please forgive me for messing up. Please help me not. 2,500 times? Is there such a thing as a last time? If you're standing beside home plate and you have a bat in your hand and the pitcher pitches and you go, I didn't like that one. Strike. This sounds like Mighty Casey at the bat. No, I don't like that one either. Strike. No, I don't like that one either. Strike. What do you do next? You go sit down. You're done. How many times does God say, okay, and is there a last time? I'm a great believer in grace. I think it's a wonderful thing. Maybe in all of the world, it's the very best thing. But in this time of Lent, we might say, does it end? Here's the thing about the tree. The owner of the vineyard seems harsh, but probably fair. That's probably God in the story. The gardener seems like a really good guy who's really trying to make things work right. And he says, let me try one more time. I've tried 18 things, but let me try a 19th thing. Let me see if I can make this work. Let me see if maybe if I do something different, if I say something different, if I put things in a different order, if I do this or that or the other thing, maybe this time the fig tree will get it. But the gardener seems like a good guy. And you know what we want? We want the fig tree to produce figs. That would be the good ending of this story. We want to be able to say, and then there were figs everywhere, and they all lived happily ever after, and the prince kissed the princess, and she woke up, and they all went to a castle, and nothing ever went bad again. We want that kind of a fairy tale, wonderful ending that's loaded with figs and the possible Newton. That's what we're hoping for. And maybe that's what happened. We don't know. Maybe what happened was the owner came back the next year and the gardener says, one, maybe that's what happened. Not as good of a story, but most definitely a possibility. That's the thing about grace. We can say, yeah. I'll start tomorrow. I'll turn around tomorrow. I'll repent tomorrow. By golly, my life is going to change tomorrow. And maybe that works. In fact, it's worked so far. But maybe, just maybe, there's a last chance. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your gracious love for us. We thank you that the steadfast love of God endures forever. We thank you that as we keep going astray, that you keep calling us back. Help us, Lord, to be a people who turn around before the last chance. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us stand and sing together, "Alas, and Did My Savior Bleed."
Thank you.
Let us remain standing and together say what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. Third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. As we come to a time of corporate prayer, I have a couple that people have given to me. First, Martha Gogler is in the hospital with kidney stones and requests your prayers in that time. And also, I received one, prayers for a friend who is recovering after surgery due to a hit and run while she was jogging. So those two requests given to me ahead of time. Are there other praises or petitions that people would like to lift up to the group? Yes, Marianne is in church. That's a good thing. I asked her if she drove herself or if she was driven, and you can guess by the person sitting next to her the answer to that question. But really good to have you. We have Lawrence and Joe back in worship with us. And I noticed back in the back pew, sitting in Bruce's spot, Capital University must have closed down. No? we even have a college student back somewhat early. Hi, Ariana. I do. Let us pray together. Lord, we come before you in this time. We're conscious, Lord, in this Lenten season, in this time of introspection, that we are completely dependent upon your grace. Help us, Lord, to be a people who cling to that grace. Help us to be a people who understand the depth of that grace. Help us, Lord, to be your people. We lift up to you all of those for whom we need to pray, for those situations that have been lifted up here and for those that are in our hearts. We pray for all of those who are hospitalized, for those who see ahead of them an uncertain future, for those who are lonely, alone, afraid, desperate. Lord, we pray that you would make yourself known to all of those who need you and that you would make us known to each other, so that we can share together, brothers and sisters in you. And all of the prayers that we bring, praises and petitions, we bring them humbly, but we bring them boldly, for we pray them in the name of Jesus who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Would the ushers at this time receive our tithes and our offerings? please join me in the offertory prayer? All that we present to you now, O God, we have received from your hand. We give so the hungry may eat and the thirsty may receive pure water. We share to send the good news of your work to those who have not heard. We invest in just causes that your mercy may be known among all people. Most of all, we give because passing on your gifts is a generous response. It is necessary to life. Amen. Let us sing together verses 1, 5, and 6 of Take My Life and Let It Be. You, for those of you who are going to the gardening thing, that it will be upstairs in Badger. Receive now this benediction. So then grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to whom be glory both now and forever. Amen.